thank you for tuning in to the Covenant Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the teaching and preaching of God's Word. The Covenant Podcast is a ministry of Covenant Baptist Church located in Indianapolis, Indiana. And now, here is today's speaker.
False sense of reality that we're living in today in a great, one of the greatest senses is that. It's that everything is about me, for me, because of me, and depends on me. Even when we talk about God's will, what do we often say? God's will for my life. And don't get me wrong, you need to determine and discern what God's will is for your life. But do you know that God's will for your life is, in many ways, the exact same will He has for everyone else's life? To love Him, to honor Him, to give Him their life and their heart. And that'll come out in different ways. And God has given us different talents and different things to do and different works and different people to love and to be in a relationship with. But it is that. But when we think about this, what this false sense of reality that everything is truly about me, it's not a new problem that God's people face today. This is not a new issue. But I don't know that Satan has ever had so many ready tools at hand to convince us that reality is about us. So many tools in his hands today to convince us and to keep us in a thought and a process of being in that false sense of reality. So think for a minute before we move in and speak about these things that Paul specifically says in our scripture lesson. But think for a minute how much of your day is spent in service to God and service to others compared to how much of it is spent in service to yourself. We spend our lives attempting to fill that empty spot, satisfy that inward part of us, when in order to truly find satisfaction in life, you actually need to let those things go. Are you ready to combat this false sense of reality in your life and in our day? Are you ready to resist it again for yourself? Are you ready to help others resist it when you see it? Paul, in speaking these verses, in writing these verses to the Colossians, we see four things in verses 9 through 12, and we want to address them briefly today. These four things that he calls out, these four prayers, these four requests for them on their behalf, what he wants for them in order to combat the false teaching that was around them. And I believe it's a similar thing, and this thought is not new. It is not something that we have not discovered before, but we want to remind us today of what these things mean. These four things that we see Paul praying for the Colossians, he says four things. One, in verse 9, that they be filled with the knowledge of God. And in verse 10, that they walk worthy of the Lord. And in verse 11, that be strengthened with His might and power. And verse 12, that they be thankful people. He begins this letter in which, again, he's going to address the deity of Christ, the error of Gnosticism, the error of mysticism, and this exclusive idea that only a select few have a path to God. And he's going to deal with all these other areas. He's going to deal with these doctrines that are so fundamental to a belief in Jesus Christ. And before he does and dive into those things, he says, I have four desires, four hopes for you. That you be filled with the knowledge of God, that you walk worthy of the Lord, that you're strengthened by Him, and that you are thankful. One of the greatest obstacles to your own contentment and happiness is just simply a lack of thankfulness for the things that God has given. So he says in verse 9, so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. God has provided for you and for me the capacity to know His will. And by giving us His Word, and by communicating to us through His Spirit, He has given us the ability to understand what His will is. God's will is not something that should be hidden to us. We should know it. We should be seeking after more understanding of His will, that we would be filled, as Paul says, with the knowledge of His will. So again, if I ask you today, what is God's will? Would you have a ready answer? We think we know, and we probably do have an idea of what God's will is, but stop and don't deal with the Sunday school answers. Somebody comes to you and approaches you on the street and says, I just don't understand what life is all about. I believe that there's a God, but I don't know what He wants. I don't know what His will is. Do you have an answer for them? What is God's will? You know what? Again, we come back so much of the false reality of our day, and we interpret that, and we talk about it in this way. God's will for my life. Look, God's will for your life is the same will, again, that He has for everybody. It is that we all honor Him and love Him and obey Him and follow Him. But somebody came to you and asked, what is God's will? Do you immediately have an answer? We should. And perhaps most simply stated, it is, what is the greatest commandment, right? That's where it can all come down to. That's what this man asked Jesus. Lord, what is the greatest commandment? What is God's will? That you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. You love your neighbor as yourself. That's God's will. That's God's will. And yes, it's going to impact how you live your life, the job you take, the person you marry, the places you go, the decisions you make. All of those things are going to be impacted by this overriding will of God. Or you'll be living your life in a false sense of reality, that your life is about what you want, what you need, what you think. And again, even here, this danger of living in that false sense of reality. There's nothing wrong with wanting to know what God's will is for your life. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But just remember, sometimes the obstacle we face in determining God's will for our life is we have not truly submitted ourselves to God's will overall and in general. Because when we don't submit to God's overall clear will, love me with everything, when we don't love God with everything, we start then to look for some specific direction about some issue in our life, and God is there thinking, according to Scripture, you're not submitted to my will in the first place. What good is it going to be for me to give you some specific thing to do, some specific place to go, some specific person to marry? You don't love me. You don't see that as the most important thing in your life. So the greatest obstacle in understanding God's will for our own lives is that we seek it first rather than seeking just to obey first. This greatest commandment. Nothing at all wrong with wanting to know what God would have you to do with your life. But we must understand that what God's will is actually expressed in verses 15 through 23. This is God's will in another way of expression. The preeminence of Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, or rulers or authorities. Listen, all things were created through Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together, and He is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross, and you, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, am become a minister. That's God's will. God's will is that we love him with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. And God also expresses his will in this way. Jesus is to receive the preeminence. Was God talking about you and me in these passages of Scripture? No. He's talking about the Lord, his Son. God's will is that his Son be exalted and proclaimed. That is the knowledge of God's will. And Paul speaks to them and he impresses upon them the reality of God's will here. And he says, I pray that you would be full of God's will in all wisdom. Knowledge apart from wisdom, as we've talked about before, is a dangerous thing, isn't it? Knowledge apart from wisdom can be one of the greatest dangers that you and I face. Knowledge apart from wisdom will take us not to the right place. Knowledge of God's will apart from wisdom will not lead us ultimately to where he wants us to go, because you can know it, but have absolutely no skill or discernment or wisdom in how to live it. Knowledge of the world apart from the wisdom, knowledge of the world apart from wisdom will not lead us either to the right place. I found this recently and I want to share this quote with you. A man named Max Born is his name. In January 1970, Max Born died. He was a close friend of Albert Einstein, a colleague of a man named Max Planck and Otto Hahn, who were nuclear physicists. He was one of the great minds of the 20th century, according to many who would attest to such a thing. And in an interview with him on German television before his death, he commented and he said this, I'd be happier if we had more scientists with less brains and more wisdom. Less brains, less knowledge, more wisdom. Now we know that wisdom is built upon knowledge and true things and facts. That wisdom apart from knowledge is also not possible. But wisdom is the skill or ability to correctly employ knowledge. And Paul is speaking to them, I want you to know the will of God. I desire you to be full of his will. Not only though do I want you to be full of his will, I want you to be full of the knowledge of his will with all wisdom. What does this mean for my life? What does this mean for the lives of others around me? What does this mean when God says that he wants me to love him with all my heart? It means that there's nothing in my life that I hold dearer to myself than him.
We hope you have enjoyed listening to today's program. Please visit us at www.covenantmbc.com to access our podcast archive and learn more about the ministry of Covenant Baptist Church. Visit us on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/covenantinindy.